Now, a new Curtin study has found that eDNA, a game changer to help protect native animals, they're using a sophisticated DNA technology called DNA metabarcoding to help protect native animals. Joining us this morning to tell us all about this research is lead researcher Dr. Mieke van der Heijden. Thanks so much for joining me on the record this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So two research papers examined animals and insects to find out where the use of DNA metabarcoding would be the most effective. Just to start off, can you explain what DNA metabarcoding is?
Sure. Any sample in the environment will have DNA in it, and you can extract the DNA from that sample. For this study, we used insects and animal poo. So we extracted the DNA from that sample, and then you can use DNA sequencing. So you can sequence barcoding regions of the DNA, and those barcoding regions we can match to reference databases to tell us what animals and insects are in that sample.
That's so interesting that you can just use just a little bit of DNA to find out a wide variety of the local native wildlife.
Yeah, we can get a huge diversity of what's there just from those short barcoding regions.
So where did the idea come from to use this tool in relation to native wildlife?
Well, the tool is being used a lot for things like soil microbes and in the aquatic system to get fish and invertebrate diversity there. So really the key here was we need to monitor restoration, and we don't do currently a lot of fauna monitoring. The assumption is that the fauna will come back as the plants grow. So most of monitoring is just counting plants. That's not necessarily the case that the fauna will come back on their own. So the idea was we have this tool that works in these other systems. Let's apply it to restoration and see if it works there and if it's applicable and useful.
So how long has this research been running for so far?
Are you talking about DNA metabarcoding?
Well, yeah, using it to find out more about the animal restoration.
For animal restoration. So there aren't a lot looking at DNA metabarcoding and animal restoration. And this is one of these two are one of the few looking at specifically vertebrates and insects in restoration studies.
So are there not many studies when it comes to insects?
There are some. It's a growing field. I think most of the studies looking at this sort of thing have been published in the last year or so, but it's definitely a very new field.
And now it's said that this DNA metabarcoding can help when it comes to saving time, money and resources with animal restoration. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I'll start with the insects. So when you monitor insects, you collect insects from traps and then you need experts to identify them. The problem there comes is they have to identify each specimen, whereas when you do DNA metabarcoding, you take all of the insects in that trap, you turn it into a bug smoothie, you extract the DNA from that, and then you can just sequence all of them at once rather than looking at every individual specimen. So if you have a trap with hundreds of individuals, it can really save a lot of time.
That's something that I definitely haven't heard before, an insect smoothie of sorts.
Yes.
And now I also read that in the research that DNA metabarcoding, like you said, can show the recovery of insects and plants in woodlands and forests, but not so much in the Pilbara region. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, and it's part of the ecosystems and how different they are. So in the woodland and the forests, you have more of a successional dynamic, whereas in the Pilbara, that restoration habitat and reference habitat actually aren't that different, because they both have the same amount of like open space and similar plant communities and such. So that's one of the reasons we think, because the Pilbara is already such a harsh environment, that's an added pressure on top of the restoration. So you don't see the same trajectories as you do in the woodlands and the forest ecosystems.
So would there be other technologies in place or that can potentially be used similar to the DNA metabarcoding for the Pilbara region?
Well, for the Pilbara region, we actually had a lot of success with using the animal poo instead of the insects. So the animal droppings, we just collected that on reference and restoration sites. And we could actually tell the difference between restoration and reference sites, mainly in the amount of birds and mammals that were going to reference sites compared to the restoration sites. So clearly the restoration sites are missing or have not yet developed the things that a lot of those animals might need for habitat.
And now one of the unfortunate drawbacks of the DNA metabarcoding is obviously it can only be used to identify animals if we already have the reference DNA. So how would you go about trying to gain that missing DNA to further use and benefit from this product?
Well, there are a lot of barcoding projects. The International Barcode of Life is one of them. Going through museum specimens is one of the ways to do it. But also just barcoding of specimens for reference barcodes should, I think, be embedded into any metabarcoding projects in the future, just so we can keep building those reference databases. The other thing that I was just talking about before, insects especially are very difficult because they're so diverse. 80% of Australian insects are undescribed. We don't even have names for them.
That's an insane amount. And it's considering how big Australia is, and we've got quite a lot of desert and wetlands, forests and other regions. I'm not surprised that we don't know every single insect that's living in our backyard.
Yeah, and that becomes difficult, especially if you want to name everything.
So how can the DNA metabarcoding being used when it comes to animals such as the pygmy possums and western bush wallabies?
So for this, the western pygmy possum is a very small animal, right? And it is hard to find small animal droppings. So the samples that we detected, the western pygmy possum, actually came from carnivore scat. So they've clearly been eaten. And the carnivore scat is from feral animals as well. So that's foxes and dogs. So here it's a case of we're using the animal scat to see that the feral animals are preying on the western pygmy possum. So we've identified this threat for the pygmy possum, and it can help us monitor the feral animals, see what they're eating and how to control them.
That's so fascinating that you're able to find a species through another species like that.
Yeah, animals can be great samplers of their environment.
And the technology can drastically improve conservation. Can you tell us a little bit more about how this will change the current pace of conservation in WA?
Current pace of conservation in WA? I'm not sure about that, but it's another tool in the toolkit. So if you can't find certain threatened species or animals, this is another tool to help you monitor them and track them and see where their range is. Because you can't conserve something you know nothing about. If you don't know where it is, what it's eating, what it's interacting with, it's really hard to protect anything.
So I guess it definitely will help when it comes to protecting future and current endangered species.
Yes.
So this morning we've been talking all about this research that looks into DNA metabarcoding and how it's a bit of a game changer of protecting native animals. But just to end off this morning, what's next for this research?
Well, we've been exploring other sample types, for example. So we've tried earlier with soil to get animal diversity, and it wasn't very good. It's just too hot. DNA doesn't last long enough. But if we look at hollows, tree hollows, for example, we can actually get a lot of DNA from that and figure out what's actually using those tree hollows.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Record this morning and telling us all about this really exciting and fascinating research.
Thank you for calling me.
You're most welcome.